This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
In the book of James, this is verse 5 through 8, making huge progress here. 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So one of the things we've been talking about, and it really is important, is wisdom. All of us probably, if I took a poll in here and had everyone stand up, all of us probably have areas of their life that they're like, I really need God's wisdom in this. It may be relationship problems. It might be a situation at work. It might be just something about the future and direction. You might need wisdom to understand what's going on in your body, and you need some help in that. There's so many areas that we need wisdom in. And I'm just so glad that God said, if you need wisdom, he's got it. And if you ask, he'll give it. And so I've been encouraging you to ask for wisdom. A lot of times I think, well, the Lord knows what I need. Yeah, but he told us to ask. And so good thing is just ask. And he said he would not rebuke us for asking, but he would give generously. And so we begin to talk about how does wisdom come to us. And last week I touched on it, but I just kind of want to go back because I think it's important that I clarify this, is that God's word is our first source of wisdom. How does wisdom come? God's word is our first source. Jesus referred to God's word as his wisdom. And we check any wisdom we get with the question, how does this line up with scripture? Now, I said that last week, and I realized I needed to clarify that a little bit because some of you are thinking, well, I need wisdom on what kind of car to get. I don't think there's a scripture for that. And you're right, there's not. But I've got a scriptural principle for that. And it's out of Colossians 3:15. It said, and let the peace of God rule as umpires in your heart. So here's a principle. Yes, if you're deciding between a Toyota and a Honda, you're not going to find a verse that says, thou shalt buyest the Toyota. You're not going to get that verse. But I tell you what you can get is peace. And you're saying, Lord, you say, Alan, do you ask the Lord about what car to buy? Yeah. Ever bought a bad one? Am I the only one that's ever bought a bad car? I got a car story. You want to hear a car story? Okay. That's a rhetorical question. You know when I ask you questions like that, it's rhetorical. 1981, I bought my first brand new car. And it was a Chrysler Reliant K car. Anybody remember when Lee Iacocca had the American way to beat the pump? Wow. Well, he sure did because he didn't put any horsepower in that car. That car had 110 horsepower, and I don't know what kind of horses they were working, but they were 110 Shetland pony horses because they were, that car wouldn't go. And, but I felt, did I ask the Lord? No. Did I check with him? No. I didn't, and I bought that car. That car was so slow. I tried to take it back to school in the mountains. I had grandmothers passing me, and I had my foot all the way in it. It was incredibly slow. When I got here to Houston, I'm trying to merge on the highway. I'm from a town of 250,000 people in North Carolina. Guys, I had never seen highways like coming into Houston, and people are here, man. That's where I learned to drive aggressive, was in Texas. But I'm trying to get on the highway, and that car won't go. And you need some gas. And I mean, I got my foot all the way in it. I used to have to cut my air conditioner off so I could get. Think I'm lying? Anybody have a car? Anybody ever have a car like that? I tell you what, you did. You pray about your next one. You're like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, please. And so what'd you do? Well, I never forget, man. We got rid of that car was such a dog. It was a dog car. And when we got rid of it, I was so glad. It looked good, but it was a dog. And when we got it and went to work for a company down here in Houston and Houston area, and they said, well, here's your company car. And I'm like, great, I got a company car. I don't know if companies still do that, but they gave me a company car. I'm pumped. I said, what is it? They said, it's right out there. It was an uglier Reliant K car. But it was part of the package, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, no payments on this car, I'll take it. And it was ugly. So now I have a real problem with underpowered cars. I really do, because I likes to go. So you think I've digressed? We haven't. We're asking for wisdom. So are you going to see a biblical scripture for everything that you're asking about? No. You're going to see a scripture that says go to Dallas to get the next job? No. But you can have God's peace in your heart. And you ever just said, you know what? I know this job doesn't look as good as I just have peace about that one. And that, what is that? That's God's wisdom. See, a lot of times we want wisdom to show up on a big widescreen television, like, boom, this is what God wants me to do. But often we find is he'll give us wisdom, but it's going to line up with the scriptures. Now, here's another application. As you read the scriptures, you're going to find that God will actually sometimes highlight a scripture for you, and that's his wisdom for you in that situation. Let me give you an example out of the book of Acts. This is Paul talking, and he's talking, he would go to the Gentiles. Acts 13, let's read verses 46 and 47. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, Paul was talking to Jewish people. Paul, every time he'd go into a new town, there wasn't a First Baptist Church. There wasn't an Assemblies of God Church. It was like First Church of the Heathen, First Church of this goddess, you know. There weren't churches. So he would go in, and the first place he would start with the Jews in the synagogue. And the Jews knew the scriptures. And so he would talk to them about the scriptures, and sometimes they get real excited about it. A lot of times they did not. They got upset. And so this time, the Jewish people had turned on Paul and had refuted him that Jesus was not the Messiah. And Paul said, well, and he quoted that scripture, and he said, for the Lord has commanded us, I've set you as a light to the Gentiles. Now, you don't know the backstory of this, but he's actually quoting Isaiah 49:6. He's quoting that. Well, the prophet Isaiah really was referring to Jesus, but evidently Paul had been reading, and that verse had come alive to him that Jesus was a light to the Gentiles, and he, Paul, would be a light to the Gentiles. So he used that verse. Basically, what he's saying is, this verse confirms my call. So he's explaining that to him. Now, what's he doing is, God highlighted a verse to him. Now, I can understand that. After I came back to the Lord in 1981, many of you know that story. I won't repeat it. But after I came back to the Lord really began to impress upon my heart. And I would get up and I would read my Bible, and I was hungry for God. I wanted God. I sensed God was doing something in my life. I sensed there was something going on. And one morning in my devotional time, I read this verse, and I'll just read it to you. And it's out of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Now, I read that, and that verse came alive to me. And I realized, you know, that God knew me before I was ever born. You know, he's known you before you were ever born. Before you ever formed in the womb, before you were, so to speak, a twinkle in your father's eye, God knew who you were. And he had your plan. But this verse absolutely jumped off the page, and I realized that one morning, realized that God had called me, and he had called me to preach. Now, I had run from that for a long time, but this was confirming that. Now, I have to admit, in my youth, I thought I was a prophet. I didn't tell too many people that, and I'm really glad I didn't, because that was not the plan. But the idea that I would speak for God, that I would speak to people, that I would speak, and even though I was young, I would still speak, then that was God's plan for life. So he took a verse that he had given to Jeremiah, and the Holy Spirit quickened it to me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So in other words, I didn't go through going, oh, I found this verse in Jeremiah. This is mine. I was just reading, and it came alive. And the Lord can do that. And if that's why, if you'll read the Bible, you give him opportunities to speak to you out of scriptures that were, you thought, that how in the world could that even pertain to me? It can pertain to you. God's lets you in on a secret. God's brilliant. He's really, really brilliant. And he can communicate with us. And the more you read his word, the more he's able to get his wisdom into you. It'll make all the difference in the world. You've heard me tell the story about my mom just agonizing because I came to the Lord and went away from the Lord. And my mom is up and she's praying. And I thank God for a praying parent. All you parents who are still praying for you, just keep on praying. They can run, but they can't hide. And we can, and we'll just, you just continue to believe God for your kids. And my mom was praying. She was agonizing. And she got up one night and she's just reading, couldn't sleep, reading her Bible. And she's reading through her Bible out of Isaiah. There's a verse that said, And I will pour my blessing upon your offspring, and I'll pour my spirit upon your seed. And one will call himself by the name of Jacob, and the other will say, I'm the Lord's. When she read that, all of a sudden, it just leaped in her heart that we were going to be okay. Me and my sister, both of us were away from God. My mom had been worried about us. And now that this was a promise, it was in Isaiah, but God made it come alive to her. Does this make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? She didn't go looking for scriptures, but as she was reading, God made something come alive. That's why I encourage people, listen, I know sometimes you get tired of hearing me say, read your Bible, but read your Bible. There's a lot of good things there. Reading your Bible, you open yourself up to a lot of God's wisdom. We look for wisdom first in His Word. Sometimes He'll just give you, I can't tell you how many times Joy and I, over the years, a scripture would come. It would give us wisdom or peace about what this situation was about. It's a great way. Second way we talked about last week was that the Holy Spirit can give you what you might call a hunch, but what he calls a knowing. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know. There's, and I know you've done this. In fact, they say oftentimes, you've heard the term women's intuition. I'm sorry, ladies, but that's actually available to everybody. I think what happens is sometimes ladies are a little bit more sensitive spiritually and they pick it up a little quicker. But that hunch, anyone ever had a hunch? Yep. Anyone ever said, I knew that was going to happen. I just knew that. And oftentimes we need to recognize that's one of the key ways that the Lord leads us. And that's a whole nother subject, but it's a great one. Now, let me give you the third way wisdom comes to us. Wisdom comes to us, guys, through counsel from other people. Counsel from other people, but not just any counsel. Let me give you a wonderful verse again in James. This is James, the third chapter. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's a great verse. Because you want to begin to determine, is someone coming to you with the wisdom of God? You need to understand, one, if someone says, oh, I've got a lot of wisdom, their life ought to show it. Where'd y'all go? I know you're here. Their life ought to show it. He said, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Two, if you've got a lot of wisdom, you're not telling people, I got a lot of wisdom. You need to listen to me. I've got a lot of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom simply indicates, hey, listen, we didn't get this wisdom. We didn't get wisdom because we're so smart. The wisdom we have comes from God. So if it comes from God, we're just real appreciative of His wisdom. We're like, oh, thank you. And if someone comes and says, oh, man, you got a lot of wisdom. You got a lot of wisdom. Take the smart route. Tell them, it's not my wisdom. God helps me. He gives me wisdom. His word gives me wisdom. People who are really wise biblically don't spout off about it. They're real cool about it. You like this? You're smiling. I'll talk to you. Okay. Now, here's where you want to watch. So there's a wisdom from the world, but it's strife-filled. And the Bible said there's another kind of wisdom. It's earthly, sensual, demonic. And so there are people who have wisdom for you, but it's not God's wisdom. And that's why I'm saying you don't take counsel from anybody. Someone comes up to you, I've got counsel for you. I got a word from you. One, you tell me that I'm all my antenna go, they go up, and I'll listen to it. And if it registers in my heart, if it makes lines up with scriptures, great. If it doesn't, I will throw it out in a heartbeat. I'll smile at you and go, bless your heart. But you don't have to take anybody that says they have wisdom. You need to be able to check it out. And it says wisdom is pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield. Now, I'm going to give you two Alan stories. Alan with no wisdom, Alan with wisdom. And I want you to see the contrast. When my wife and I left for North Carolina the first time to start a church, I just had it in my heart. I was walking down the street, and Lord, I knew in my heart I was praying and talking to the Lord and walking. You know, you can pray and walk same time. Some people think I've got to be in my closet on my knees. No, you can pray and walk. You can drive and pray. In fact, that's a great idea. I was praying and walking, and it just really came in my heart that I was going to be a pastor. So, boy, I'm ready to go. And I told Joy, I said, man, we're working at Lakewood as a volunteer. I'm busy at my job. I preach 3 or 4 times a week. We're busy. I'm like, man, if I'm going to be this busy, I might as well be in full-time ministry. That's not wisdom. And a man said, some of the best churches are for people who go back to their hometowns. There's no scripture for that, but I grabbed it. Like, we're going back to my hometown. Well, Joy woke up one morning. We're already getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to quit a good job. And Joy woke up one morning. She said, I had a dream. Now, what did I talk about dreams last week? Remember I talked about dreams? She said, I had a dream. And she said, some of the pastors in the area, they were angry that we're there. She said, it's a very real dream, Alan. She said, I just don't know that we're making the right move. And I looked at my wife and I said, you're in fear. I maybe didn't do my finger like that, but I said that. Y'all look at me like, you come up like that. All right, no. I just said, hey, you're in fear. And she said, Alan, this was a real dream. I mean, I really had this. Now, you got to understand, guys, we're about to move our family 1,100 miles. No one was asking me to come to Greensboro, North Carolina, and be a pastor. No one knew I was coming. No one cared, except my parents. They were happy because we were bringing the grandkids. And there was nothing in there. So Joy looked at me and she said, Alan, she said, are you going to go talk to Pastor Osteen before you go? I said, no. She said, why not? I said, it doesn't matter. I'm going. I know you guys are much better at me than this. I'm just sharing my story, all right? Just work with me here. What was that? What was that? Was it gentle? Was it willing to yield? No. Not at all. You know that. You know how that story turned out. I rolled into town. I'm serious, guys. I sit on my bed where I grew up, and all of a sudden, I have tears in my eyes, and I looked at my wife. I said, I think we made a mistake. This is the day we rolled into town. I remember she looked at me. She said, it's too late now. She was not happy for a long time. She told the Lord about me. She said, I did not want to come here. He wanted to come here, and I did not want to come here. But the Lord is merciful. He is merciful. He will not leave you stupid. If you'll ask Him, if you'll repent, He will give you wisdom. And I finally realized, Lord, I said, I made a mistake by coming here. Now listen, here's something interesting. People argued with me over whether or not I'd made a mistake. And sometimes in Christian circles, for some reason, we like to spiritualize things. Well, the Lord knew that you needed to connect with your parents again. No. The Lord knew that you needed to do this and that. No. Just listen. If you make a mistake, just stand up and go, I made a mistake. One of the best things you can do is go, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Or, here's another one. If you're married, try this one. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Some of you are like, is he speaking in tongues? No, that's English. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Works wonders. So, we come back. We get on our feet again. We're doing well. You know that story. I didn't want to start a church. Finally, I agreed to start a church. I wanted to find one. Didn't want to start one. Won't go into that. But we got down to it again, and I'm like, and Joy said, are you going to go talk to Pastor Osteen? And I went, absolutely. She said, well, why are you going to talk to him? Because he was my pastor. Because he had been influential in my life. Because I recognized that there is something called spiritual authority. And he was in authority over me spiritually. Now, that makes your flesh crawl. Don't, because it's a scriptural thing. He was my pastor. If what I heard was from God, it ought to bear witness with people who are in leadership or people who are around you who are godly people. Did you catch that? If it's God's really talking to you and really impressing that on your heart, try that out on some other people, and it ought to bear witness. The first time I told my wife we're going, the second time I said, what do you think, darling? Why? Because she's in this with me. If God can talk to me, he can talk to her. If both of us are in agreement, it makes it so much easier. And so I don't have to jump. She said, are you going to talk to Pastor Osteen? I said, oh, yes. She said, what if he said no? And my flesh rose up. I went, I said, if he says no, I said, I'll put it on hold and I'll ask him to pray about it. And if I can come back. Now, what's that? That's gentle. It's willing to yield. Reasonable. Does that make sense? Listen, if God really is moving and talking to your life, he can share with other people. And I was going to bow up like, you say, well, you don't need him to do this. But I'm going to tell you something. I wanted his blessing when we started this church. Amen. I had worked and served and been there for years. I wanted his blessing. There's something powerful in having the blessings of people who have been over you and have helped you. I can't tell you everything about it, but it is something spiritual. And I knew I did not want to start this church without his blessing. And I went to him and I said, Pastor, I'm going to start the church. And this is where I want to do. He said, where is it going to be, Alan? I said, it's in Conroe. It's about 40 miles from you. And he said, well, why is that important? Because I believe that if God called us to start this church, I wouldn't have to take people from Lakewood to do it. If he wasn't big enough, I had a class of 400 people. All I had to do, we knew two other couples up here. All I had to do was go, guys, I'm starting a church in Conroe, Texas. We could have had more people. But that's not God's wisdom, because that's not pure. We're having fun tonight, aren't we? That's not pure. Here's what I believe. If it's God's wisdom, God can help you make it come to pass. You don't have to push. You don't have to coerce. You don't have to manipulate. You don't have to force. You don't have to be harsh. I said, Lord, this is you. You can make it happen. I went and Pastor Osteen, he looked at me. I said, it's 40 miles from you. It's in Conroe. He looked at me. He said, don't tell anybody. I said, I won't say a word. Now, he had had someone leave a year before we did, and 300 people went with him. So it's a big church, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. That's not right. It does matter. If you've ever been a businessman, you've trained somebody up, and then he takes some of your key employees and goes down the street and starts the same kind of business, you know how that feels. It does matter. He looked at me, he said, you can't tell anybody. I said, that's not a problem. And when we left, we got prayed for in 1996 in April. We got prayed for. And we were known at Lakewood. And he prayed for us in the back. We went to the back. No one knew we were leaving. So you're leaving without honor because we were quiet. We didn't say a word. But I'll tell you something, guys. God can honor you like nobody else can honor you. Amen. And when we left, I remember thinking, it's like the enemy was on my shoulder going, you're leaving without honor. You're leaving without honor. Because when I left Pastor Osteen, he said, if it doesn't work out, you can always come back. I'm like, thank you. And those ringing endorsements in my ears, I left. 6 weeks after we'd started, he called me. He said, Alan, I want you to tell the people up there that we know you're here and we know what you're doing and that we're for you. We bless you. Those words meant the world to me. They still do. Because God's wisdom is right. And when it's God's wisdom, you don't have to roll over anybody or take advantage of anybody. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle. Now listen, when someone's coming at you, how are they coming at you? Is there peaceable? Is it gentle? Is it harsh? Is it demanding? When I hear harsh and demanding, I start to put the brakes on. When I hear a lot of pressure, I start to put the brakes on. Why? Because that's not necessarily God's wisdom. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This is a lot of times how we discern what's coming our way. Someone just gets mad. We've had people get mad and cuss at us and leave. These are staff. And we realize, well, that necessarily wasn't the wisdom of God. It said awful things, horrible things. So you have to be able to gauge what's being said. How's it being said? Everything that everyone tells you, you have the right to check it out, guys. You have, and I'm talking to people who are on their own. If you're a child that you're still under your parents' roof and under your parents' authority, you need to listen to them. What they tell you to do, you need to do it. You say, well, what if they're wrong? The Lord will work it out for you. If your heart is right before Him, He will work it out with you. You just do the right thing. So it gets a little touchy here because people have said to people and told people, the Lord told me you need to do this. If anyone tells you that, you ought to just pump the brakes right there. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Because until the Lord tells me, we ain't doing it. I looked at Joy. The Lord had spoken to my heart big. I said, what about Joy? He said, she's yours. I'll never forget, I went to her and I said, the Lord told me that you're going to be my wife. She looked at me, she smiled. She said, He didn't tell me that. Okay. So you and I didn't go, well, bless God, you're not hearing from God. I just backed off. Because if it was God, He can talk to her. And it's been one of the three or four times in my life that God actually spoke to me before Joy, and she got it right after a little while. There's wisdom there. Does that make sense? Next week, this took longer than I thought, but I really think I needed to spend time. This is where people get turned around. This is where people go into partnerships they should have stayed out of. This is where people marry people who put pressure on them and said, the Lord told me. When anyone starts telling you the Lord told me, guys, pump the brakes. If I tell you the Lord said this, don't just go, well, Alan said it. It's got to be true. You can always check that in your own heart. I'm not your master. I'm only your pastor. And no one else is your master but one. That's Jesus, and ought to be able to bear witness in your heart. No demands. Next week, we'll get into one of the best key relational wisdoms, and if we're still in the first chapter of James. I know it, guys. We're going to change the name of this title, First Book of James, for the mature audience only. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you so much for your wisdom. Father, for those right now in this congregation tonight, those who listen to me by podcast or those who listen to me, Father, via video. Lord, I ask you for help for them, for wisdom, that if they're being pressured in any way, if they're being pushed in any way, Father, thank you that your wisdom and your peace and your purity and your gentleness can reign and rule. Lord, we pray for those who feel like they're under such pressure to make a decision. Father, thank you. Your wisdom does not push. And so give them help, strengthen them, Father, enable them to make wise decisions. Lead them by your Spirit. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this evening and you've said, Alan, I don't really have what I would say is a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've never really acknowledged Him as my personal Savior. Or maybe you came and said, I have done that and I know that, but I'm away from God in my heart. I am so far away and cold, but I want to come back into fellowship with him. We're going to say a very simple but powerful prayer. If either one of these two scenarios belongs to you, and you're saying, I want in, I want a relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to him, and you would like our prayers, would you just slip up your hand across the auditorium? We'll see those. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Over there. Anybody else? Great. All right. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Always want to have opportunities for people who are away from the Lord to come back, or people who have never met him to pray this prayer. Most powerful, eternal thing you'll ever do on this earth. So we're going to pray it with you. So let's pray this out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.